Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Good evening and welcome again to another episode of Talk Straight. As we consider the accomplishments of political figures in America, the contribution of early African-American statesmen must not be forgotten. In the face of great opposition, at a turbulent time in American history, they stood the challenge and provided political leadership to their constituents against tremendous odds. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Our topic tonight, the Magnificent Seven, the first African-Americans to serve in the United States Congress. We're grateful to have you. As always, you can call us here at 657-0944 for the next hour or so. We're going to have some good conversation here and hopefully offer some information that will be informative and useful to others. 657-383-0944. We invite you to call and share your comments or questions with us as we go through it. We have our esteemed panelist that has joined us as well, Pastor Ricky Waller. We will hear from him tonight. And again, we hope that you will be our guest. This is an open mic discussion. Our Facebook listeners, you can join us here and respond to our question thread in the Facebook group there. All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to move into our monologue here so we can get to our discussion. Again, the topic is the Magnificent Seven, the first African Americans to serve in the United States Congress. Psalms 90 and 17 reads, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the works of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." The Reconstruction era refers to the period of American history that involves the separation of the United States of America. The primary issue was the President Abraham Lincoln's executive order to free Negroes in southern states. It caused 11 states, which were Texas, Louisiana, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia, to break away from the Union. They broke away under the notion that the 10th Amendment of the Constitution empowered them to continue their economic institution of slavery. It said simply, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to states respectively or to its people. In our conversation tonight, we will discuss specifically the view of Civil War memory, or the history of that time, commonly known as the Emancipationist vision. There were other ideas about what the Civil War meant and the impact it had, but we're going to talk about the Emancipationist vision, which focuses on efforts of bringing full freedom, citizenship, and constitutional equality for African Americans. Moreover, we will share information on the first seven Negroes, or African Americans as we commonly call them today, men to be elected to serve in the United States Congress. I hope that this will be insightful and educational, particularly for young people who are of the voting age, 18 to 30 and beyond, who have decided they don't know enough or don't care anything about this process, because it's important that you know that there is a basis for you to have direct impact on how you fare and where you are today and where you'll go tomorrow. All right, so let's cover a little bit about these seven men. The first was the first man to make it to the United States Senate, and the person of Senator Hiram Revels. He was a part of the Republican Party. Born in 1870, visitors in the Senate, I'm sorry, he was not born in 1870, he was born earlier than that, but on February 25th of 1870, I meant to say, visitors in the Senate gallery burst into applause as Senator-elect Hiram Revels, a Republican from Mississippi, entered the chamber to take his oath of office. Those present knew that they were witnessing an event of great historical significance. Revels was about to become the first African American to serve in the Senate. He was born 42 years earlier to free black parents in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Revels became an educator and minister of the African Methodist Episcopal Church. During the Civil War, he helped form regiments of African American soldiers and establish schools for freed slaves. After the war, Revels moved to Mississippi, where he won election to the state Senate. In recognition of his hard work and leadership skills, his legislative colleagues elected him to one of Mississippi's vacant United States Senate seats as the state prepared to rejoin the Union. When Hiram Revels' brief term ended March 3, 1871, he returned to Mississippi, where he later became president of Alcorn College. In the House of Representatives, there were six men who went after 1870. Really, 1863, and between 1863 and 68, what came with the 13th Amendment was the assumption that you can vote, but it was not a constitutional amendment yet until 1870. All right. United States Representative Joseph Rainey, part of the Republican Party. Joseph Hayne Rainey was an American politician. He was the first African American to serve in the United States House of Representatives, the second black person to serve in the United States Congress. As we just learned, Hiram Revels was the first. The first black presiding officer of the House of Representatives. Born into slavery in South Carolina, he was freed in 1840s by his father purchasing the freedom of his entire family to include himself. With education severely limited for black people, as an adult, Rainey followed his father by becoming a barber. It was an independent and well-respected trade at the time, and it enabled him to build a network within his community. Rainey was seated December 12, 1870, and was reelected to Congress, serving a total of four terms. Congressman that was not surprised in serving for a term was something that was not done by anyone else more than four terms, other than William Dawson in Chicago in 1950. But Rainey supported legislation that became known as the Enforcement Acts to suppress the violent activities of the Ku Klux Klan. This helped for a time before white insurgents developed other paramilitary groups in the South, such as the White League and the Red Church, that using Jim Crow efforts, they impeded the progress of Negroes or black people. All right. Representative Benjamin S. Turner, Republican Party. Benjamin Stalin Turner was an American businessman and politician who served in the United States House of Representatives, and he represented Alabama's 1st Congressional District in the 42nd Congress. He was born into slavery in Halifax County, North Carolina, near the town of Weldon. His parents were slaves, taken with his mother to Alabama at age 5 as a part of forced migration of the internal slave trade. Turner received no early education. By clandestine study, however, studied on his own, he obtained a fair amount of education. He seemed to have remained enslaved until the Emancipation Proclamation was issued in 1863. Another representative was Robert C. DeLarge. Robert Carlos DeLarge, formerly, was a politician and Republican member of the United States House of Representatives from South Carolina, and he served from 1871 to 1873. He was earlier a delegate in 1868 at the State Constitutional Convention and elected in 1868 to the State House of Representatives for one term. He was born in Acton, South Carolina in 1842 he was a mixed son of a free colored woman and a white Jewish father. His parents encouraged his education, sending him to North Carolina for primary school. He returned to Charleston and graduated from Wood High School. DeLarge became a tailor. As a young man, DeLarge became a member of the Brown Fellowship Society of Charleston, made up of people of color who had been freed before the war. Now let's talk about Mr. Josiah T. Walls, who was also a Republican in the House of Representatives. He was a statesman who served three separate terms in Congress between 1870 and 1876. He was one of the first African Americans in the Congress elected during the Reconstruction era, and the first black to be elected to Congress from the state of Florida. He also served four terms in the Florida State Senate. Walls was born into slavery in 1842 near Westchester, Virginia. During the Civil War, he was forced to join the Confederate Army and worked in support. He was captured by the Union Army, interestingly enough, in 1862 at Yorktown. He voluntarily joined the state's colored troops in 1863 and rose to rank of corporal. He was discharged in Florida, and settled in Alcoa County, Florida. Leaving politics, Walls operated a successful firm in Alcoa County until the disastrous freeze in 1894, which destroyed his crops. He took on a teaching position as farm director at Florida A&M University, the historically black college and university. Then we have Jefferson F. Long, who was also one of the first politicians from Georgia. He was the first African-American from Georgia to be elected to the United States representative. You notice the first for all of them. Long was born a slave as well near Knoxville in Crawford County, Georgia, on March 3rd, 1863. Self-educated, became a merchant tailor in Macon, Georgia, was elected to Republicans, as a Republican, excuse me, to the 41st Congress to fill the vacancy caused when the United States House declared Samuel F. Grove not entitled to the seat. And he served from January 16, 1871 to March 3, 1871. He was not renominated in 1870, but did serve as a delegate of the National Republican National Convention in 1880. Then we have, lastly, Robert B. Elliott. Robert Brown Elliott is his full name, and he was an African-American member of the Congress, House of Representatives, from South Carolina, serving from 1871 to 1874. Elliott arrived in South Carolina in 1867 at the age of 25, where he established a law practice. He helped organize the local Republican Party and served in the State Constitutional Convention in 1868 as a delegate from the Edgefield District. In the late 1860s, he was hired by an AME bishop and fellow future congressman Richard H. Kane to be an associate editor of the paper, the South Carolina Leader, renamed the Missionary Record in 1868. Along with other future congressman Alonzo J. Reisner, in 1868, he was elected to South Carolina House of Representatives. The next year, he was appointed Assistant Adjutant General. He was the first African-American commanding general in the South Carolina National Guard. So, as you can see, all of these men played a significant role in trailblazing and opening the door to representation in the United States government. Let me not introduce but present to others our good friend and regular panelist, Pastor Ricky Waller. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good, Pastor Doctor. How you doing?
All right. Tell me where I went wrong. What did I go wrong with trying to make it clear who these brothers were and what their contributions were?
Yeah, you want to know how and where did you go wrong? Oh, man. I mean, who's in session? Who's in session? You got to know that somebody's willing to learn, so you can't go wrong like that when you have someone willing to learn. And when the teachers show up like that, you know, willing to teach, and the students show up willing to learn, I mean, you're on the right track. So I
well,
can never tell you, you know, myself, that I am that student, you know, that's
okay,
willing to learn. I missed it. I noticed you could say something about around about 18 years of age and somewhat like 35 or something like that.
25.
Hey, man.
25, yeah.
25, okay. Well, you can go on up a little bit further on me. I missed it all the way through. And and I'm just with you now. Yeah, I think it's amazing, and I want to thank you for what you're bringing up tonight. And I noticed you said something about Psalms and verse 17, correct? And
yes,
the way
sir.
You put
yes,
it, if you don't mind me sharing that, because I can see it saying, and may the Lord our God show us his approval. That's basically what he's saying to us. And make our effort successful.
Right, right.
And yes,
right.
Our effort successful. And so I just want to thank you. And I looked into verse number 15, and it says, give us gladness in a proportion to our former misery. To our former
right.
misery now.
Right,
give us
right.
gladness in a proportion to our former misery. And I like that part. So in other words, that was a miserable thing that we had to be dealing with back then, man. And
absolutely.
It says, replace the evil years with good. And I'd like to, I'm going to share something that says, let us, your servants, see you
mm-hmm.
once again.
Okay.
Let our children
okay.
see your glory.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. Order. Let our children see your order. So what you're bringing up tonight is for those that didn't get a chance to, may be able to tap into it tonight and learn something, as I myself be willing to listen and embrace that what you're bringing to the table. So there's no wrong in a student showing up as long as the teacher up here, you know, and
praise
that's
God.
What you're getting ready to do. Yeah.
Well,
man,
well, God bless you. I posed a question on Facebook. All seven of these men who played a significant role in opening up doors to political representation. And that's key, because when we look at the plight of people, we live in a country that have political communities. And by definition, you're a member there. If you don't have your own agenda, you're going to be on somebody else's agenda, okay? And you need to be in a position to have what is important to you well represented. Well, all these men were black men, but they were Republicans. And I asked the question, why do you think that is so? Why do you think that is so? That, so here's the question that a lot of young people, now a lot of young people that I've talked to, they don't really care about Republicans or Democrats, Democrats or Republicans. They think all of it is a game, right? Yeah. But a lot of our people have come to become very happy with association, affiliation with even the Democratic Party. Do you find this to be stunning that the first men to join Congress were Republicans?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay. Okay. And why is that?
You know, I heard so much about the Democrats as if, you know, you become affiliated with them that everything's going to be all right. But I hear you say that back then happens to be or were Republican. So that to me, it was stunning. It was stunning to just hear that. You know? And because I sure didn't know. I didn't know much about anything that had to do with one or the other. As I've often said, in my come up and the way things were going then, it wasn't anything that was popular about either one of the parties, if you will, because of the pace of. And so that's why I can see the scripture lining up with, you know, Psalms 90 and verse number 15. You know, it says, give us gladness in a proportion to our former misery. And, man, that to me now is telling me or giving me a reminder that that was a miserable style of living that I myself was indulging in. I may not have been, you know, way on back in the 40s and the 30s, but I do understand what it means to be captured in the 70s, you know. And, and it was miserable, I must admit. And so to hear the scripture, line up like what you brought to the table in verse 17, though, he says, may the Lord our God show us his approval and make effort successful. Yes, make our effort successful. So that's a major form of information to me, you know, to ask the Lord, the creator of all things, you know, to give us an opportunity, you know, to utilize the knowledge and the wisdom that we can obtain.
Right.
And make our effort successful. You know, that's a beautiful thing, man. And I just encourage all the ones that's tuned in, they would embrace themselves and grab a hold to the information and walk in it.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. With that being said, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and the topic tonight is the Magnificent Seven. We're discussing the first African-Americans to serve in United States Congress. After this brief break, we're going to come back, and we're going to revisit that thought. You were talking about people in slavery and so forth, and we'll come back and revisit that in just a minute here. So stay tuned.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up being a man, but I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself in 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I've been a-climbing on and reaching Latins and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So, boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kind of hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
You're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Darkery. Tonight, we're talking from the topic, Magnificent Seven, First African Americans to Serve in the United States Congress. The number is 657-383-0944. I do hope that those of you that are listening live now will give us a call. I'll be happy to entertain your questions or comments and your contribution to our discussion. That last song was based on a message from a mother to a son, part of a poem written by Langston Hughes, and his mother was trying to encourage her son not to give up. And that's essentially our effort tonight in educating our people, not just black people, but other people. There are other ethnicities, particularly whites and Hispanics, who find themselves not wanting to actively participate in society when it comes to the electoral process, even in education and becoming business owners and things of that nature. I want to encourage you to keep on holding your head up and to know that, as the text says, if you ask God, he'll answer your prayer, and he will do as the writer in Psalms says, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon you." This King James Version. "And he will establish your work and bless that if you will be faithful." Now, I contend, Pastor, that the issue is, like those slaves, they didn't care about Republican or Democratic Party so much as it was they wanted to know who was going to help them to get better, their condition, so they can be free, so they can be independent, they can do as they choose and they will. And as what happened, it was the Republican Party that advanced their cause, which caused these men to join it. Today, we have people who are so displaced and despondent that they really don't care about either one of them. But because if they had known, Pastor, of the efforts of these men right here, I wonder if they would be a little bit more motivated. What do you think?
Oh, yeah, I would say, yeah, sure. I'm a witness to that, because the reason why I was trying to find out about when you mentioned about the years of being 18 to 25, and I knew I needed to go a little bit further because my lifestyle did not change. Yes,
okay.
It did not change in any direction until I was 34.
Right.
And,
right,
you know,
right.
My, now I can be open because it's been a slowdown. You see, when you're in a fast pace of a lifestyle, you know, those areas about when you catch it is not really important to your mindset, your pattern
That's
of thinking,
true.
Your surroundings, because it's going so fast. I mean, with no disrespect to either party, it's just that when the enemy places something to capture your mind, and there were many people that was done that way, and it still is today. And that's why I can still line up with the scripture today, because I understand now what I didn't know then, you know. And
right.
Not everybody is captive to the Bible. Not everybody is going to understand what the Bible says because of the fast-paced life of the world's way. And every now and then I see the power of the scripture. So I'm grateful, you know, that what you're talking about, you know, if I had known better, I would feel that I would have been open like I am now to acknowledge some things. You know, the scripture said, give us gladness in a proportion to our former misery. So I'm like, replace the evil years with good. And the only way that's
right.
going to take place, I have to be open and find out that those were some evil days, man, that you was faced with. You know, and I can see it as you speak. I can still see just how fast and how quick the enemy places evil before you. And all of a sudden,
right.
like 20 years it went by. And it dawned on me, man, why did it take 20 years, you know, to acknowledge that the things that I thought was good was actually evil?
Okay.
And that's what I got out of
You make a good
man.
Point. You make a great point. Brother, we are aware of the existence of certain influences or forces on our behavior or life, or not, they are there, right? And it seems to me the ones we become most adept or knowledgeable about are the destructive influence, the things that cause the most harm and keep us locked in a box somewhere. But when it comes to becoming aware of influences, opportunities, resources beyond that empowers you to be independent, self-sufficient, and not locked in one particular place. You know, it's interesting. One of the conversations in social media today that is a hot buzz is about Dr. Carson. You know, he's the Secretary of Housing and Human Development, Urban Development, I'm sorry. And he made a statement the other day in an interview that said that poverty is a state of mind. And he went on to say that if you have someone who was rich today, take everything away from them, tomorrow they'll work themselves back up to being rich again. But if you take somebody who was poor and give them everything, the next day they wouldn't have anything to speak for it. People are upset with them because they're saying it's a state of mind. The reality is, the rapper says, I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. What are you talking about? He talking about
there
the
you
drug game,
ain't he? Yeah, that is Sam Spacey is right there. Yes, sir. That's what it evil because is the root of all type of evil. You know, see, that's what the word of God said. But again, you know, by the people who don't know, you know, they cannot apply that as if they're aware of that. You know, the Bible says, according to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore
it's
get
the principal.
Wisdom. Yeah, but
right.
all you get is get understanding. So if you don't understand,
Absolutely.
Then you cannot apply that, you know, with the intent that you understand it. And so when you say you got the money and the mind is on the money, the money is on their mind, and when you got locked
that
in,
that was the rapper
you're,
thing.
You, yeah, I mean,
well,
you're a bad.
It just goes to show that what you do to make or to gather resources for yourself causes you to think about it. And if your mind ain't on being serious about that, you ain't going to be too rich out there, not even as a dope dealer. Is that right?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah,
you
by
can't
all
be
means.
Stupid
I mean,
on, you, listen, big brother, you can't be stupid and make it on the streets. You got to have what they call street smart.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother. And I tell you, I was stripped from all of that, man, I must admit, man. I tell you, it's amazing how one can be stripped off of his foundation and suddenly he's going for anything. You know, he don't stand
right.
for nothing, man. Go for anything.
Absolutely.
You know, it's amazing. But out in the real world, that's the way it is. You know, most people that's dealing with that type of lifestyle, unfortunately, you know, they had that concept that this is the way they're going to live with their mind made up that I got to get the money. That's just the bottom line. And that could be just an ongoing thing, and the identity can gradually be lost without even realizing it, you know?
Sure.
It happens. Yes, sir. It happens.
It just speaks
and especially
to the fact.
To young people. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I was just going to say it speaks to the fact that, yes, there are economic conditions that factor into or maybe lead to poverty. But if a person is made aware and they act on their knowledge, they don't have to become a slave to poverty. But it is what you do with your thinking and your action, your mindset, your mentality, that determines where you are. I can say today that I'm grateful. I grew up, sir, as a statistic in the housing projects of Chicago, Illinois. But I was determined.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah,
after
I like
a period
that.
Of time, if y'all permit me to, I'm going to tell you now. I was supposed to have been dead 30 years ago on 43rd and Drexel. But something changed in my thinking.
Okay.
So I'm changing my thinking, brother.
Yes, sir.
Not me. I can't go out like that. You understand what
I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah. I can't go out like that. Something got to change for me. And the first thing was my mind, my thinking, and the circle of Negroes I kept up with.
So you made a monumental decision to shape yourself that something got to change. Cannot be
right.
caught up in this. And praise God that it came.
Look, I would like that little shout in the poem. Life ain't been no crystal stair for. You understand what I'm saying? But one thing I know for sure, I ain't going to stay here in this rut. I got to go, man. I got to get it.
Man, that's it, brother. I tell you. And there's so many, as I say, with the increase. When I say so many, you know, I don't see them in the game, but I watch
mm-hmm.
them sometimes when they get arrested. And they
right.
come out and, you know, the things that they'll say and the things that they'll start back to doing you to get right back into that pace again, that fast pace.
That's right.
It's like,
that's right.
And so that right there tells me that just because you become incarcerated from society and be behind bars, that still doesn't mean that you're free when you get back out.
Absolutely. Watch out now.
Yeah.
Watch out now.
Yes. I've seen that happen so many times, man, and I'm watching the power of it. There's power in the mentality of being a slave in many areas. You
mm-hmm.
see, if the enemy wants to trap you in some particular area, it ought to be an area that you are not familiar with, that you are trapped, you see.
Right.
And
right.
and that's why you have to be mindful. Oh, I have be mindful myself, you know, of the Bible. I heard it say one day, man, I saw that scripture and it was so powerful when it was talking about the unclean spirit when it has gone up for man, you know,
mm-hmm.
walking through tribe seeking, you know, a location and finding that place empty and swept. In other words, look here, this is a familiar place that I was familiar with. Now everything is cool. So I got to go get somebody more wicked than me. So he go get some spirits seven times as wicked as himself. So that to me is saying that the enemy would go get some help to find some
sure.
other areas that it can capture your mind in. You know, that
right.
mind may encourage you. But you never do no drugs because I'm evidence of what it'll do to you. So I'm not doing drugs and telling you and sharing this with you. I'm free from it now, so I encourage you not to do it. But then the enemy will come in another area that's all brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, a cell phone. You know, a simple cell phone. You know,
okay.
there are so many young people's mind, and not only young people, you know,
old people
that's
too.
Captured by it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're talking
right.
about just actually captured by it. There's a difference
right.
in before.
Right.
You know, back years ago, you could stop at the telephone booth and put a dime or 25 cents,
a quarter.
Or you know, and call. A quarter, you know?
Right.
So today, they know nothing about that, man.
Yeah.
So now the telephone is played with. And so they're doing all kind of things with it, and that's only designed to capture your mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's from my experience, you know.
So as we look at this, sir, and we draw lessons and we relate this to the series of topics that we've had throughout the month of May, all being germane to the electoral process. And we got one more. We got one more coming. We're going to have a assistant chief of police that's going to join us on the 30th of May. And what we're going to really talk about is how to balance the incidence of being incarcerated with empowerment through voter education, voter organization, and voter
yeah.
participation. That's what we're going to talk about
okay.
on the 30th, but that's another topic. And we have police chief to talk
Please.
About incidents when people wind up in police custody and so forth and so on. And the listening audience will be able to ask them any other questions they want. But my point here is that we have a situation, sir, where because of a lack of knowledge, there are some good people who are perishing socially. And I want to stop
Yes,
there.
Sir.
I want to stop that. So if we
yes.
can't do anything else, if we enlighten people, equip them with knowledge so that they can make the change in mind and thought and action, we can perhaps improve the quality of their lives for them a little bit better.
That's right. That's right. Because,
you know
I like that. I like that. That's great information right there, man. And you know, I believe that will make a big difference, you know, knowing that you can cover a lot of areas that would be beneficial to awaken the people that are asleep. You know,
that's,
I appreciate that. He say, awake unto righteousness. You know, and that's what we have to wake unto. Wake unto righteousness, man. And once we awaken to that, oh, man, we'll know that the evil don't have the power anymore that it was upon a time. And
right.
until then, you know, when the unrighteousness continues to flow and to flourish, it's for
mm-hmm.
a purpose. Yeah.
I'm going to say something, Pastor. And I hope this is useful to somebody. So we, you know, you've heard me talk about the target group, 18 to 30, 25, 30 years old, right? But you know what I discovered? I discovered that there are some people that are 50, 60, 70 years old still operating off the mentality of a 18-year-old.
Yes,
That's how messed up we are.
Yes, sir. That's true.
And so I realized it's very little difference when you get in certain circles or among certain groups, very little difference in the level of mentality or activity because socially – the babies are ignorant, and with all due respect, the elders are ignorant too. And I thought about the sex. If the bland leave the bland, what's going to happen to both of them?
Go fall right into the ditch, man. That's what they're supposed
Help
to do.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy
yes.
Ghost.
And that's the thing about thinking of like a child. You know, the Word of God says, and not again, everyone don't know what the Word of God says, and that's the thing that gets me, is that how it was able to utilize me the way it did, knowing that
right.
I was thinking like a child at
to 34. You know, the word says, when I was a child, I felt like a child, I understood as a child, and all those things that went along with it. But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. It was until then. See, I couldn't put it away when I didn't know no better. It didn't matter how old it was. You just mentioned it. I'm being 50, 60, you can still be thinking like a child at that age.
Good people, man. Good people.
Yes, sir.
Good people.
Without a doubt, man.
But their
mean
level
no harm.
Of understanding, right. Their social level of understanding and maturity is stuck somewhere.
Yes, sir, brother. I mean no harm, man. I know it don't mean no harm. I've been there, and it hurt my feelings when I discovered. I said, man, it took me to be 34 before I realized that I was thinking like a child. Man,
right.
That was amazing.
Here's the good news.
Yes, sir, though.
The wisdom of the ages is suitable for anybody of any age. And if you're just willing, if you're willing to make yourself available to knowledge and understanding, you said it earlier, it's the principal thing.
Yes, it is, man. You know, and then started getting that wisdom, brother. You're going to be all right.
Yeah, things will get better for you. Things will get better for you. So I say to the disinfected today that know that there were individuals who worked hard in the interest of rights, equality, and they were trying to keep us from where we are today, killing one another, stealing from one another.
Right.
Going out, checking out ahead of time, right? That's what they were trying to do. But yet, we didn't benefit from that. One of the questions that I post on Facebook was, how would you compare the actions or accomplishments of the first seven congressmen that were black with those who are currently in office today?
My goodness.
Is there a comparison?
Yeah. I wonder, do they know about those seven brothers, you know, that you were talking about? I wonder, do they know about them? You went deep.
And more importantly, have they built on their advances? That was in 1800s, brother. We're in 2017, and it looked like we're going backwards at 100 miles per hour.
No, not that.
I'm speaking collectively now. As a whole, look like people are going backwards at 100 miles per hour. What have we learned after all of the blood, sweat, and tears that have been shed? The civil rights movement in the 60s. What have we learned, man? What have we gained, really?
Sound
what
like
does that
going
mean
nowhere
to us, Charlie? Right, we're going nowhere fast.
Goodness, man.
You know, and that means little to nothing to a young person who don't have a clue, who's hungry and out there trying to snatch and grab to get it the way they live.
Right, right.
They're trying to get rich. They're trying to get rich or die trying.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's
all
just,
that
again, it's the nature of, as I say, the game, because that's what it is. You know, it's a game, and a lot of them are playing the game. See, I myself admit that I played the game
watch
when I didn't know the rules.
But watch
uh-huh.
this. Watch this. The worst thing is to get played by the game.
Man. My goodness.
See, we got
Amen.
Some folks that wind up getting played by the game itself.
You're talking to one right now, man, and they played me. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to admit, you know, when you can admit, know how valuable it is not to go back, you know, because I admit, man, that it just done me in, man. I tell you, it gave me the awareness. Yes, sir, it gave me the awareness that you don't want a second round of what you just came out of.
Right.
Yes,
let me do this. Let me get this last little break in here, this little message. And then we'll come back and we'll wrap it up. We've got about 10 minutes tonight before we wrap up tonight here. We'll be right back.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Tonight, talking about the Magnificent Seven, the first African Americans to serve in the U.S. Congress. We've had some pretty good dialogue here, Pastor Waller and myself. You still have a few minutes, got about 7 minutes before we close the show out tonight. 657-383-0944. Call us to get your question in. I was asking the question about, is there a comparison between those that served 150-some years ago now as the first trailblazers, government, to those who serve now in government? You know, we've had some politicians to fall from grace on a national level as well, mayors, senators, state-level senators, who've fallen from grace. And where are we? Is there a comparison? And I want to say to our listening audience, particularly our young people, don't give up on yourself. Even though people have not done everything they promised you they would do, don't become so frustrated that you cut your nose off just to spite your face. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. Pastor?
Yes, sir.
In these last few minutes, you got something to wrap us up here?
Yes, sir. You're saying to us, you're saying to hold on as if help is on the way.
It
and
is.
That's what I, yeah, now that's it. You know, that's why it says now faith is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now and right now, as we speak, you know, we should be able to exercise the pattern of the thought of what comes after when you have these type of dialogues and what do you do concerning it. Because going back to what you talked about earlier and what it made me aware of is that there was a opportunity back then to recognize the value of the two different parties, because you said Republicans and Democrats, and the brothers were not Democrats back then.
And not
so that tells me a lot, you know, about how and what caused the change. What caused
right.
Yeah,
right.
What caused that change to take place like that? You know, was that also a plan? How did that occur? How did that change so suddenly? You know,
well, you know,
and really, go ahead.
we have talked about that in some of our previous shows, where we talked about the New Deal being a dangling piece for particularly poor whites and blacks in 1935 with Roosevelt,
right.
You know, promising them government welfare support and handouts and things of that nature, and then subsequently, sixthly, public housing, things of that nature is when more blacks moved over to the Democratic Party. And interestingly enough, a lot of used-to-be Democrats became Republicans, and they brought a certain mentality with them to the Republican platform. So it's been a flip-flop. But the reality is that there are certain principles that were part of that early Republican platform that shaped the history and the context of African-American growth and development. And there are some good things in the Democratic Party that they've had that has helped shape it as well. What we got to do is we got to figure out how to take some from here, some from there, and put ourselves something together that's going to work for us. Ain't nothing wrong with that, is it?
Not a thing wrong with that. I hear you now that you have made it clear. And see, that's what I was looking for, some clarity. So you just demonstrated how it all occurred.
Right.
You know, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
but
sir.
The good thing is that hope. Now, the Bible says that people perish because of a lack of knowledge. I don't want us to perish no more, man. You know. So I'm grateful that we have the base of knowledge here to do so. Let me tell our listening audience, please go to www.bfcmissions.com. I'm sorry, bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com. And learn about our lecture series and what we're doing and how you can be of help to us to share this information and this knowledge. We want to thank Pastor Waller for hanging in there with us and being our esteemed panelist and sharing the information that he does. And I know where his heart is because I've been blessed to literally be on the street with him. Is that right, Pastor? We've been on the street together.
That's it. You understand the fight. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I saw how this man get down on the street. You understand what I'm saying? In a positive way.
Yes, sir. Still fighting a good fighter.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we got about a minute and a half here. Let me just say again, the website is www.bfc, that's Bravo Fox Charlie Institute.com there. And you can find the book Still High, Pastor Wallace, the author of Still High. If you just simply go to the webpage, hover over Contact Us, and you'll see the back store there. And you'll find the book on the back store. When you purchase it, Pastor Waller will give a percentage of the profits to our nonprofit organization, and we're grateful for him in doing that. We hope to be able to go to those targeted cities and places, and even in Nashville, and give the books away for free that way. So we thank you for joining us. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. We're going to be back again at 7 o'clock hour on May the 30th, Tuesday, May 30th. We're planning a pretty good show there, and I think it will be informative and inspiring. With that, we're going to leave today's discussion. Keep on pushing. We can't stop now.